This episode of the Lou Rockwell Show is sponsored by...
Does civil disobedience really get you excited? Go to freestateproject.org, get signed up, move to New Hampshire, get involved with the next wave of liberty activism, and be the next Rosa Parks. The Free State Project is your best chance for liberty in your lifetime. freestateproject.org.
This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
Lou, how you doing?
I'm fine, Brian. How are you doing?
Great. Good to have you back on the show. Great to hang with Tom Woods at CPAC a couple of weeks ago. Great guy.
Oh, yeah, he is a great guy.
Man, I tell you, we're going to have him back on, talk about Meltdown and all the rest of that business. I want to talk to you for a minute about the left, the right, and the state, your new book, the 500 and some odd pages. Oh, you trying to give Ayn Rand a run for her money? What is that?
Well, you know, I'm trying to show why neither the right, we've just lived through 8 years of the Bush administration, nor the left, as we're finding out with the Obama administration, is the answer, and that freedom is the answer, and that neither the left or the right have done a very good job of giving us any freedom, or even of not taking away our freedom. These days, you know, I'm satisfied if they're not kicking me in the teeth, but of course they are kicking us in the teeth, whether it's the Bush Republicans or the Obama Democrats, and I think, you know, obviously the libertarianism and the concern on the state. You'll notice that whenever anybody's talking about public policy, they never mention the state. But everything in public policy and in all these issues in Washington involves what are we going to have the state do? And we have to remember the state is the gun. That is the gun they put to your head and they say, do this or we're going to jail you, and if you resist, we're going to kill you. That's the government. So there's never any, nobody ever talks about that when they're talking about, you know, have a new stimulus, they have to do that by force, or whether it's, you know, all the Bush's wars and bombing people and everything. I want to always focus on what are they willing to use coercion for. That's what the government does. It coerces you into things. Every time you sign any government form, you'll notice you're swearing that they can put you in jail if you're not, in their view, telling you the truth.
I don't think that's something that folks bear in mind when you hear, you know, there ought to be a law. I mean, that's like handing the government another bullet to point at you.
Well, you know, the government is the entity that claims the right to kill you if you sufficiently resist paying your parking ticket.
Ultimately,
that's the government. So that's that bunch of people who, you know, are the SWAT team guys. It's the libertarian view that we want to minimize SWAT teams in society and allow people to peacefully deal with each other. And allow was famously said once, capitalist acts between consenting adults. They shouldn't be illegal. And yet the Obama administration, like the Bush administration, is busy outlawing those acts.
Well, in your Beating Back Obamanomics, you point out it's raining, it's pouring, these economic fallacies by the hour. We were discussing in the last half hour how talking about energy and education and these things are not focusing at all on economics. Meanwhile, over on the economic side, either nothing is being done to directly address the issue, or whatever is being done to directly address the issue is disastrous.
Well, you know, there's one great unmentionable in all discussions of the economy. It's never talked about, and that's the Federal Reserve. And yet it is the Federal Reserve's vast increase in the money supply that brought on the boom, the artificial boom, the crazy housing boom, the crazy mall boom, commercial real estate boom, all the various booms in which there was all kinds of investments made that were mistakes. People bought houses they shouldn't have bought. Businessmen undertook projects they shouldn't have undertook that they thought they'd be able to complete, but turns out there's no savings to justify it, and the whole thing was an illusion. So the Fed created this illusion, they blew up the bubble, inevitably gets pricked, it has to, it can't continue forever, then we have a return to reality. So the government's already done all this damage to us. The best thing for them to do is, I don't know, all go take a vacation in the Bahamas for a while, just get out of our hair. That's the best thing they can do, is not make things worse. Needless to say, they're doing everything possible to make things worse, and they're copying what Herbert Hoover and Franklin Roosevelt did in the 1930s in turning a bad recession into a 17-year Great Depression.
Let me ask you this: I ran this by Tom Woods when we were talking in D.C. a little bit. I got to put on my tinfoil hat for this because it kind of gets there out around the fringes a little, just to set up the question. The you've mentioned, and in my conversations with Walter Williams, Stephen Moore, Tom Woods, you know, and so on, and reading reading very smart people at LouRockwell.com, that these things all have, in fact, we spend an awful lot of time focusing on the historical precedents. We've been through, you know, Coolidge and Hoover and FDR and the Depression and, you know, blah, 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 the crash of Wall Street. And so what that says is that, you know, we've got a history. We've got a history of John Maynard Keynes, all his nonsense back then, all these things that didn't work over and over and over again. Now you get these, I assume, reasonably intelligent people, Harvard Law School and all the rest of that, now are in power, and they're doing all these things almost identical to what happened 50 years ago. And the cliche, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it, notwithstanding, you're almost left with the objective conclusion, or in this case, the question, do they know what they're doing? Is it possible that when you look at a socialist agenda and their requirement for the dependency on government, or for people to be dependent on government, that mashing the stock market, ruining the economy, taking over education and energy and so on, and healthcare, that this could all just be part of the plan?
You know, I don't think so. They're not that smart.
Oh,
I mean, I think this took them. I think it took them all by surprise. But the truth in what you're saying is, as Rahm Emanuel put it, you don't ever let a crisis go unused. So, you know, this is a crisis, and when there's a crisis, government loves it. And right after 9/11, even though the government had fallen flat on its face, it couldn't even protect its own military headquarters. Nevertheless, the answer was, hey, give the government far more money and far more power. Well, once again, the government has fallen flat on its face. It's caused this artificial boom. It didn't, you know, and then we have the bust. So the answer to them is always, hey, give us more money and more power. And that's what the whole Obama administration is about. It's not just the Democrats. It's what Bush and his TARP was about. It's what, in fact, the whole Bush administration was about, vastly expanding the government. This is what the Republicans and the Democrats agree on, expand the government when we're in charge. So, you know, some of them, I think, actually believe that maybe Keynesianism will take us out of the Depression, and this is a depression. Some of them maybe don't believe that. Maybe they're just glorying in because Keynesianism is the economics of government power. So I guess they're glorying in that. But they are doing the same sort of thing. For example, Herbert Hoover went bananas trying to keep food prices from falling. The only good thing that happens in a depression from the standpoint of the average person is prices go down. So what does the government try to do? Tries to prevent that, tries to make prices go up again, which is, you know, like defying the law of gravity. In our own time, housing prices have to fall. Remember these people all blab about affordable housing? Well, we're finally getting affordable housing, and of course they're going bananas trying to prevent it. Housing prices have to fall. They were way too high. All prices have to fall. Although, with what the Federal Reserve is doing, they've pumped up the money supply by perhaps $9 trillion, far more than the federal budget. So at some point, we're going to see the most peacetime inflation in the history of this country.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
How would the transition to a free society happen? Libertarian media? Lawsuits against the state? How about libertarians elected in increasing numbers, even to the state legislature? All of these things have already happened in New Hampshire. Find out more at freestateproject.org.
What is the practical reality of that, Lou? We've kicked it around here a little bit. I mean, we're going to go out and get our Weimar Republic wheelbarrows and go.
Well, you know, I don't actually know, and a lot of this depends. There are actually two components when you're talking about inflation happening. First component is the government has to expand the money supply, has to print more money. That they've done, and they've done in spades beyond anything that maybe has ever happened. But the other component is we, as the consumers, if people figure that prices are going up and are going up in a crazy way, then prices will go up in a crazy way. So I don't actually know. In the Weimar period, for a long time, prices went up less than the amount of money creation they were doing. Then, towards the end, prices were going up much faster than the money creation. So it's actually a psychological phenomenon. I would guess that we're going to see inflation rates above 20%. So that's going to be, and it could be worse than that. Yeah, it could be Varmar. I mean, it looks like they're copying Zimbabwe there in Washington.
Yeah, with all those zeros.
I heard some lady, a pro-Obama person on TV other day, when she was faced with a question, which of course we know we just went through a crisis characterized by crazy borrowing and crazy lending. How come they're trying to stimulate crazy borrowing and crazy lending?
Indeed.
And she says, look, you know, debt makes the world go round. No, debt doesn't make the world go round. Production makes the world go round. If debt went the world, you know, they'd be all prosperous in Zimbabwe. Debt doesn't. It only takes a think when they express these crazy Keynesian ideas in normal language. It's easy to say, of course, that it's entirely nuts. Of course, so you know,
does 20%
work in production, savings, and investment make the economic world go round?
Indeed,
not debt.
Does 20% that neighborhood, does that qualify for the hyperinflation label?
Well, normally it would be, yes, it would. Now, it's also possible you can't actually do a mathematical, you know, you can't say the money supply went up this much, therefore the so-called price level is going to go up by this much. It's actually possible that we could be faced with 40 or 50% inflation rate.
Whoa. Well,
and at that point, they put on price and wage controls like Richard Nixon did.
Yeah, and that worked out well.
And then, of course, there are shortages. And then you have food lines and that kind of thing. And all of a sudden, this is Third World Banana Republic USA. So there's no telling what these creeps in Washington are capable of doing to us.
Indeed. Well, I'm going to hold off on my Happy Days Are Here Again version for just a moment. Lou Rockwell is my guest. You can find him at lourockwell.com. You can find him at the Von Mises Institute, all online, all linked at our website, wsbd.com. Lou, I'm looking at also a host of lourockwell.com, by the way. You definitely want to go up there and grab some articles, like the one we're discussing right now, Beating Back Obamanomics. Towards the end, Lou, you know, you don't hear an awful lot about communism these days. No real good Cold Wars to go getting excited about. You know, funny-looking guy over in North Korea is acting kind of weird once in a while. But you highly, highly recommend and encourage, admonish, exhort people to get their hands on the Black Book of Communism. Why is that?
Well, what an extraordinary work this is. You can get it, by the way, at Mises.org, M-I-S-E-S.org, at the bookstore there. But this is an accounting, very chilling accounting of wherever communism was in power, how many people they killed. And not counting their wars and not counting what may be happening in North Korea today, we can put against communism's account the figure of 100 million people in the 20th century. The communists killed 100 million people. And the reason I'm writing about this in this column is that's where socialism leads. And it seems like people within the Obama administration are already jettisoning some aspects of Keynesianism, as bad as Keynesianism is, and I certainly want to see it jettisoned, but replacing it with talk about right socialism, of nationalization and of other socialist forms. And as Ludwig von Mises showed, these kinds of systems are not stable. They're always... Because when the government intervenes in the economy, it always makes it worse. And then, of course, it uses the fact that it's worse as the excuse for more intervention, which again makes it worse. And they're heading towards socialism. And I'm saying that the end of the road of socialism is communism. And maybe people have forgotten, especially maybe some younger people in this new century, exactly what happened in that last century. So this book... you can pick it up. You can read about various countries. It's extremely well written, obviously ultra well documented. And I might add that the figure of 100 million victims, again not including people killed in their wars, just civilians killed by their own governments, who might have opposed, who belonged to the wrong class, or whatever. 100 million dead. That's a very conservative figure. It probably was significantly more than that.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show. Produced by LouRockwell.com, the best-read libertarian website in the world. Thanks for listening.